It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can find all of the podcasts and recaps of the shows there. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. Lots of great information in there. We had three of our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts in there, one with Dr. Jill Vecchio, one with Pam Long, and one with Helen Raleigh. So be sure and sign up for that. Go over to Facebook and give us a like there as well. We'd greatly appreciate it. Lots of great information is posted there on a regular basis. Great show planned for you today. First thing, I guess I didn't mention it yet. We have started something there, the little 3-minute snippets of Headlines for Hope. And our Headlines for Hope for Friday was an amazing story. A gentleman who I have interviewed a couple of times, and that is World War II veteran Levi Martinez. It's a remarkable story, so be sure and listen to that. First segment, we're going to talk with Lauren Boebert. She is a candidate for Congress. And second segment, Susan Cochevar, you know her. She's one of my valued sponsors with 88 Drive-In Theater. And she had an interesting experience with Tri-County Health and churches that want to have Easter services at 88 Drive-In Theater. So you want to hear that conversation. And then Daniel Turner, who is the executive director of Power of the Future, is going to talk about how Bernie Sanders has pulled the Democrat Party to the left. And so that'll be really interesting as well. And of course, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, will talk to him at the bottom of the hour. So producer Steve, it's a Monday morning. We're ready. We're ready to hit it again. That pretty well says it all, huh?
Yes. But it's quite a weekend, though, packed full of all kinds of things. Did you get to see the Thunderbirds at all?
You know, I only saw them from afar.
Yeah. Some people were really surprised. The way that map, everyone's looking at that map that was on different websites. And a map like that, you know, they think, oh, that's going to go right over my house. And it's not really accurate. It could be a mile off in any particular direction. So, yeah, we saw them from afar.
Really cool, though. And they, of course, the Thunderbirds went down the I-25 corridor to get down to Colorado Springs for the Air Force Academy's graduation. So that was pretty major cool. So, but as a Monday morning, I always like to say thank you to the team, to Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all your good work, and to each of you listeners. I'm so appreciate you. You're treasured, you're valued. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Do something productive and industrious today. Read a good book. Help out a neighbor. There's all kinds of things that you can do. So really appreciate all of you as well. You know, we're looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, or as Tom Goodfellow said, freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. And ultimately, fear and force come down to socialism, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, jobs via force, whether with a weapon policy or unpredictable and excessive taxation. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. All right, and as we look at these issues, we look at them, as Rudyard Kipling said, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And our inspiration slash wisdom for today is from Mark Twain. His given name was Samuel Langhorne Clemens. He was born in 1835, died in 1910. He was known by his pen name, Mark Twain. He was an American writer, humorist, entrepreneur, publisher, and lecturer. He was lauded as the greatest humorist in this country has produced, and William Faulkner called him the father of American literature. And he said, it is a free press. There are laws to protect the freedom of the press's speech, but none that are worth anything to protect the people from the press. I guess that's a little humorous as well. So our funnies for today. Are you ready, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Now that it looks like Joe Biden has the Democrat presidential candidacy totally locked up, he's pretty excited. He gave himself a pat, a squeeze, and a rub on the back. Okay. We've got just a little bit of time there. Well, yesterday I went down to the Capitol. It was an amazing day. But, Steve, you found a soundbite from Brittany Hughes. She's with MRC TV. She's a young millennial. She's on fire. And play this soundbite, please, Steve.
Yeah, media research, MRC is the Media Research Center. Their claim to fame is that when the major media makes you think that it's so dire or it's going one direction, they'll do the man in the street interview that basically says, wait a minute, it's not that bad. At any rate, anytime I hear Brittany Hughes and or Candace Owens speak, I realize, like, oh my gosh, these kids are...
There's hope.
There's something to behold. So this is Brittany Hughes summarizing where we're at.
So what's the goal? Because it seems to have shifted. Again, we moved from flattening the curve to we've got to lock this thing down until there's a vaccine and nobody can get it. We went from using proven COVID-19 deaths to using estimates based on presumed cases. And I'm not a regular card-carrying member of the tinfoil hat brigade, but if you can't justify this insane shutdown using actual figures, if you're closing down field hospitals but then telling people it's too dangerous to go out and buy mulch, if you're having to plump up the numbers with probable causes while shredding the Constitution, when you're having to move the goalpost from sustainability to total inoculation that may not happen for God only knows how long, then I'm left to assume that this has nothing at all to do with a virus, but rather it is about bureaucrats who are now too stubborn and too drunk with power to admit that maybe they jumped the shark and that they like this a little too much. And now millions of Americans are suffering.
So what do you think of that?
That pretty well nails it. And that segues beautifully into yesterday down at the Capitol. There was a very organic call out for people to drive by the Capitol and just talk about freedom and wanting to get back to work. And Steve, I was down there. It was absolutely amazing. There were thousands and thousands of people. And it was everyday people across all kinds of walks of life. And they don't want to lose their businesses. They don't want to lose their jobs. They want the freedom to be able to take care of themselves and their families. And it was absolutely astonishing. And it's the Colorado that I love. Freedom-loving people with that rugged individual spirit that built this state. And there's a lot of them there. So it was quite a day, Steve. If you go to my Facebook page, I took some Facebook Live of the whole event, and you can just see thousands and thousands of people were down there. It was really cool, Steve.
Well, you definitely lit up Facebook. Every time I turned around, there was another post from you.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, it was quite a day. It was quite a day. So, and that actually, that goes to our very first headline. Patty found this. This was from Reason. And it says that the latest results of the mass antibody testing. Now, it's important to do antibody testing. In San Miguel County, Colorado, suggests that 1-2% of the local population has been infected by the virus that causes COVID-19. The early results from the program, the first of its kind in the United States, underline the point that official counts of COVID-19 cases, which are limited to people who are sick enough to be tested for the virus, greatly understate the total number of infections. So, Steve, as we go each day through this, we are getting more and more information. And to what Brittany Hughes has said is we are now starting to see the veil come off on politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties that have said that they care about the general population, and that's why we have to close down everything, to, as she said, too drunk on power to actually look at the facts. It's starting to look like this COVID-19 virus arrived in America before we first thought that it did, and so that means that there's probably more people that are carrying the virus. We carry thousands of viruses in our body all of the time. And so very possibly there's thousands and thousands more. There's also the Stanford study that just came out that suggested the same thing. And so to actually not look at that particular data, and then I'm hearing anecdotal stories, and I'm starting to hear enough of them. We always like to source things three times, so we will work on that. But we're starting to hear that there's more and more cause of death being put on death certificates that says COVID-19. And there's a difference of dying from COVID-19 and dying with COVID-19. And then I'm hearing of deaths that are not even related to COVID-19 that they're being noted on the death certificate as COVID-19. You have to ask why. Well, there's a lot more money that's going to be reimbursed for a death that's caused by COVID-19. And we need to make sure that we're having honest reporting, honesty on these death certificates. And as we walk through this, the truth, as it says in the Bible, the truth will set us free. And so on this show, we constantly search for truth and clarity on these issues. Now, Steve, I'm hoping Lauren's on the line. Is she on the line?
No, ma'am, she is not.
Not yet. Okay.
I just
then
called and there was no answer.
Okay. Well, I was hoping that she's had a big weekend. She's actually running for Congress, and so I know that she's had a really big weekend. So let's continue on just a little bit more about this regarding San Miguel County.
Can I come, before you do that, I think all we're looking for is some level of balance. Right now, what's in our faces is anything and everything to do with the virus itself, and very little as to what is happening to us on the economic side of things. The mm-hmm. balance that mm-hmm. I'm thinking of or I'm mentioning here is like, show us both sides of this.
Well, and to that point, I was talking with a restaurant owner on Friday, and he has a second restaurant that he's just put his life savings into, had been open maybe 3 or 4 months. And he said that we as business people, businessmen and businesswomen, we just want to know. We want some certainty. So when Governor Polis comes out and says, well, we might do this or we might do that, there's not much leadership in that. We need to have a real plan on what is going to happen. And we need to have assurances that our elected representatives are actually really representing us and are staying out of the way so that people can build their businesses and have their jobs. And so we're not seeing much leadership. We're seeing a lot of scare tactics, but we're not seeing much leadership. And I think it's been absolutely brilliant with President Trump when initially he said, I have the authority to open these states back up. You heard the mainstream media, you heard people shout totalitarian, because that's what they like to, that label they're trying to put on him. But what we see with Saul Alinsky, you know, one of the things is you take what you're doing and you put it out on the other person. So here we have all these people that are calling Donald Trump a totalitarian. When I got up this morning, Steve, I saw a tweet that Candace Owens put out that Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, has actually put out a post and said, take pictures of people that are not social distancing and post them here. A government official is asking people to snitch on their neighbors. And that is way beyond the proper role of government. So we want some balance. We want to figure out how to get people back to work safely. And we do. We want some balance and we want a plan. And the unknown is what is just so difficult. So we're going to go to break here in just a moment. But before we do that, as many of you know, Hooters Restaurants is sponsors of my shows. And really appreciate them. They are currently offering delivery at all 5 of their Hooters locations. In fact, we had Hooters takeout on Saturday night. It was great. They're accepting to-go orders. And those can be placed at order.hooters.com. And then they have curbside service option. You can just drive up and they'll bring it out. And Wednesdays are Wing Day Wednesdays. You can buy 20 wings and you get 10 for free. So go to order.hooters.com and just help out. All these restaurants and bars and taverns are working diligently to get through this, and greatly appreciate you helping them out. So we'll be right back. This is Kim Munson on The Kim Munson Show.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. For those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. On the line with me is Susan Kochevar. You know her. She is the owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Susan Kochevar, happy Monday to you.
Good morning.
So, I heard an interesting story that for Easter services, there were some pastors that had reached out to you, very creative idea, to have Easter services at 88 Drive-In Theater. So what happened?
Right. Well, they saw around the country where some of the drive-ins were going to be offering drive-in Easter services. And so they contacted me, and I told them I'd be happy to help them. You know, we just, you know, need to find out what Tri-County Health Department thinks about that. So they called Tri-County Health, and they were also at one point on a call with the governor where he was speaking to all of the churches, and the governor indicated he would be in favor of that, but he told the churches they had to get approval from Tri-County Health. So they went to Tri-County Health and hem-hawed around for a couple of weeks, and then about a week before Easter, the weekend before the Easter Sunday, they hear that Tri-County Health Department is going to go ahead and let them have services, and they were going to send the pastor an email. So we waited the weekend, and by Monday that email had not arrived. And without something in writing for those folks, we didn't want to proceed. So so the approval never came. I don't know. He called the gal, and nothing. And, of course, that was a week before services anyway, and we need time to plan, and he needs to get the message out because they were going to do it in conjunction with some other churches. The thing is that the plan was to keep everyone in their cars, to keep the bathrooms locked so it wasn't going to be a really long service, and not to serve any food, and we still could not get permission. These people are power drunk.
Well, and
that's over the top.
You said something interesting, and I was on a conversation. I was on a Zoom call last night with a bunch of people. And we have moved our thinking to where we think that government can let or allow us to actually live our lives. So government can now let us, or we have to ask their permission to have a church service. They will let us go to work. They will let us run our businesses. This is totally antithetical to the American idea. We don't work for the government. The government is supposed to work for us. And I'm no longer calling them elected leaders. They're elected representatives. And as we walk through this whole thing, Susan, when we get out on the other side, the veil is off on, for example, this Tri-County Health. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't look like they're trying to work at all with people so that they are able to worship for Easter. Then the idea that I think the executive order was that there would be no food, which actually goes directly against being able to serve communion, even as a drive-by. So as Brittany Hughes said in that first soundbite at the beginning of the show, These folks are drunk on power. And it's not that they should be able to let us live our lives or allow us to live our lives. We've got things upside down right now here in Colorado.
You're absolutely right. You'll recall, I know, when this all first started, Tri-County jumped out in front of all of the elected officials with what was going to happen and how everything was going to be shut down. I believe their first edict was at least clear through April, if not through the end of May, and then they quickly got reminded that they are to advise the county commissioners and mayors. So then the governor came out and I think provided cover and went ahead mm-hmm. with his April 15th or whatever his first date was there. So they kind of got some pushback there. But over time, these folks have gained so much power that if they don't like something a business is doing, they can just put a cease and desist order on, cane your doors. And we see that the Attorney General, Phil Weiser, is coming after small businesses. He went ahead and sent some, I think as many as 20 businesses letters almost immediately after the first edict came out.
Well, and again, so is this right that government can let us have our businesses? So and so what you see when you get this administrative state like this and representatives and bureaucrats that are, quote unquote, drunk on power is that they start to choose winners and losers. So how is it that you can't go to Hobby Lobby to buy crafts to be able to do crafts with your kids while you're cooped up in your house? Or we see in Michigan where the mayor there, Gretchen Whitmer, she said that people cannot even buy seeds. This would be a great time to be out in their yards planting their gardens. But yet, on the other hand, she has, and I think all stores should be open, but apparently she has a T-shirt store. She said T-shirt stores can be open, but I guess she had some T-shirt on for some interview, and so she's probably hoping that people go and buy a T-shirt. And so when we get to a point where we have PBIs that are deciding, you know, choosing winners and losers, and of course, you know what, I say that, and as I'm saying that, we realize that they have been doing it for a long time with all of this economic development stuff where they're giving one business a break on taxes and another not. But now we're seeing them do that with some business can be open and some not. And so in a way, Susan, I'm really glad that the veil is off, that people are now paying attention to what's going on.
It's so true. I have had so many people say, well, why don't these businesses just open, just do it? The fact is we are in sheer tyranny. If the health department doesn't come after you with the attorney general, one of the other departments can come after you. You get audited, a whole bunch of other things. Small businesses are just really under the thumb of these folks, and I think this situation has brought that out more than any other.
Well, most definitely.
Push back.
So I guess my other quick question is what, with your ear to the ground, because you're also one of those that is analyzing legislation with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. And thank you so much for your work on that, Susan. What's your ear to the ground? Are we going to start to get opened up this next Sunday is the 26th when Governor Polis said that we would start to open up? Or what are you hearing?
I think so. I think some of the local mayors are starting to realize how badly the cities are going to be bleeding because they don't have any sales tax. And it's clear down to nearly zero. No projects will go forward. And worse, they're probably not going to have very many restaurants or any other small business left in their cities. You know, we need all the businesses to work together and pay employees so they can buy other things. I mean, it's a giant circle. Already we see AMC Theaters is worried about opening. Gold's Gym has closed. McDonald's says they're in trouble. And now we see 24-Hour Fitness has just announced they're probably not going to reopen. And these are big guys. These are people who can do a press release and get big media attention. So what about all these other small guys who now cannot make their rent on their restaurant space. And another very concerning thing, I listened to the gal from the Colorado Restaurant Association on the radio yesterday, and she was discussing the problem with the social distancing inside restaurant lobbies. You cannot open a restaurant and only have half of your space available for customers. You need every space in order just to make your rent. So they already are behind because they've been forced closed for 2 months. And then to open up to half a restaurant will not even pay their expenses. We are going to have to go back to normal. We, as you mentioned earlier in the show, these statistics out of Stanford are showing that the overreaction was massive, and we need to go back to normal.
Most definitely. So, hey, Susan Kochevar, thank you so much for that update. And you are the owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater, and I can't wait till you're open. I'm hoping that that will be within the next 10 days. That would be pretty awesome, Susan.
We're working on it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Susan Kochevar.
Thank you.
Okay. And on the line with me is, you know him, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Happy Monday, Jason.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. A couple of things. What's this market look like it's going to be doing this week?
Well, boy, a whole week's pretty hard to predict. even a whole day's hard to predict. We seem to be trying to climb higher, Kim, but I don't know that we're doing it the easy way. We seem to have a couple of strong up days, and then today, it looks like we're at least going to open on an ugly note due to oil prices coming down again. So, volatility is still the name of the game, but the market still is showing some positive signs, and we'll see if we can manage to keep trying to climb higher here.
Well, and Jason, are oil prices coming down because just the supply and demand, or what's going on?
I did not see the exact news it's getting attributed to this morning, Kim. It might be something with OPEC or, I don't know, if Saudi Arabia and Russia fighting again. I see the headline that the futures are down because of crude prices plunging. So I don't have all the details on it this morning.
Okay. Well, it's such an important component of our economy. In fact, I'm going to be talking with Daniel Turner, who's the executive director of Power the Future, in this next couple of segments. So I'll ask him. I bet he'll have us an update on that. But what about Roth conversions? You know, there's different things that people can do. There's always opportunity in these times. Sometimes it's difficult to step up to the plate and take that opportunity. But what about Roth conversions for people's retirement? What's your thoughts on that right now?
Well, Kim, you know, I'm a big fan of Roth IRAs. I think they're one of the best gifts Congress ever accidentally gave us. And, you know, you're allowed to convert all or part of your IRA money to Roth at any time that you feel like it, as long as you're willing to pay the taxes. So, you know, I tend to think if you're going to be in the 10% or the 12% bracket, which goes all the way up to about $80,000 of taxable income for a married couple, it's kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card if you can convert at those low rates. Now, it could be a double whammy here, Kim, if you can convert at a low tax rate and also convert while prices are low. Well, the best thing in the world is to do a Roth conversion that costs you little to nothing in taxes, if possible, and then also convert while things are low and then see a recovery very quickly in a tax-free environment. So, you know, again, I think if it makes sense for folks to do it from a tax standpoint, we've just got some extra frosting on the cake here right now with the lower prices that make you be able to convert a bigger percentage of your IRA money to Roth for the same price tax-wise.
Okay, so just a question. Let's say that somebody has a stock that they really think is a great company, and it's just gotten knocked around big time. Do they have to sell it here and then take the cash and put it into a Roth and then rebuy it, or can they just transfer the stock over? Is that possible?
No, that's a great question, Kim. You can just transfer the existing shares into the Roth IRA.
Cool. You're right. Boy, you know what? Maybe we should not be talking about this on the radio, because if Congress figures out that there was a gift on that, you know they're going to want to go after that.
You don't
so that's
them
another
to
reason.
Know their own secret, yes.
Exactly. This is probably another reason to do that right now. So if people want to explore this or have any questions or need some help, you and your colleagues at Presidential are available to help them, right, Jason?
That's right. Just give us a call at 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. Or, Kim, they can check out our landing page at airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com.
Okay, Jason McBride, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right, Kim, have a great show. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Daniel Turner. He is the executive director of Power of the Future. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and thank you so much for listening. It's a Monday morning, so let's continue on here a bit before we get Daniel Turner on the line here. But I wanted to continue on regarding this piece in Reason about the up in San Miguel County, that they are actually doing testing. And there's really two different types of testing that we should talk about. One is a test if you go to the hospital or to the doctor and they do a test and they say, yes, you have COVID-19 right now. But the other thing our bodies can do is we can actually develop some kind of immunity. So it means that we may have those antibodies in our system, but we would not test positive for COVID-19 if we just went in and had that test. But if we had the antibody test, then in that case, we would find out how many people have actually been exposed to this and would be able to and then determine that it is a much bigger number of folks that have had exposure to COVID-19. And as we're seeing with this test in San Miguel County and also this recent Stanford study that came out, it looks like that there can be anywhere from the antibody rate may be anywhere from 10 to 100 times more than what is being reported. And so it's important that we understand that so that we can start to get ourselves back to work. And as we're seeing, a lot of these PBIs are saying that now we have to have a vaccine. Our economy will be so totally decimated if we wait that long to get ourselves back to work that there will be, and you should go to my website, we're going to be having it on shortly, is our Sounding Off with Kim Munson, where Pam Long said there's also the deaths of despair, the deaths that are caused because of stress and because of suicide and because of hypertension and heart attacks. And there's all those kinds of things that would be very difficult to measure. And so the fact that these PBIs are actually shutting down our economy, sometimes you have to ask why. And so let's continue on with some of these headlines as we're trying to get Daniel Turner on the line. And the next piece that Patty had pulled, and this is quite a story. This is from CPR.org. It says, Tory Redden's 14-month-old son was scheduled to have surgery on his skull this last week, and it's been postponed indefinitely. In March, when Governor Jared Polis issued an executive stay-at-home order, part of that order required the postponement or cancellation of all non-essential medical services and elective surgeries and procedures until, quote-unquote, social distancing ends. Supposedly, it was part of an effort to prevent the spread of COVID-19. So now as we are inching towards gradual reopening, we find out that Tori Redden's son was born with craniosynostosis. It's a birth defect in which the bones in a baby's skull join together too early. He's had two major corrective surgeries to break the bones apart in his skull to allow his brain to grow and develop. But the surgeries, this last surgery has been postponed. It's the last in the series, and it has the highest chance of success if it's done 15 months by 15 months of age. Her little boy will turn 15 months on April 30th. Now, she said it's mostly a cosmetic surgery to correct a divot in her son's forehead, but she's upset that the surgery has been postponed, and she's worried about his future. Now, let's just think about this, Steve. This executive order will really probably, could very possibly affect this little guy for his whole life. And it seems like we need to get ourselves back to business so we can start to do these surgeries. I'm hearing that hospitals are quite empty and that they're actually starting to look at laying staff off at some of these hospitals because we are not doing any of these quote unquote elective and non-essential services. And so it is time to get us back to work, Steve.
Sorry, I'm working on getting Daniel on the line here. So, start over.
Well, I'm sorry about that. No, was just talking about, we were talking about the fact that the executive order said that we cannot have non-essential or elective surgeries. But yet, what's happening here is with this little guy, if he doesn't get this surgery, the highest rate of success is by the time he's 15 months old. He turns 15 months old on April 30th. It's like, let's get back to work. This is something that will affect him for his whole life. And so let's get back to work.
Yes. And okay, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, they cleared the decks with these decrees that there will be no more elective surgery because we're anticipating. And okay, I'll give them high marks for that, but they're not looking at the situation and monitoring it. And like you said, and I think Brittany Hughes referred to it as well, is that there's quite a vacuum of people right now in these hospitals. Yes, they're busy in the ER areas, but you know, by and large, like you just said, get back to work.
Well, actually, even on the ER, and you know, I know that it's different from hospital to hospital, but let's have an honest conversation regarding this narrative. I had a friend of mine that her mother had to go to the ER last week. It was in a different state. And she said she was the only person in the ER waiting room. So, you know, we have de Blasio and Cuomo out there talking about the hospitals in New York. And I think that it is pretty tough there. But let's also be honest about the narrative across the state. We can't just, or across the country, we can't just hear one narrative. And that's why it would be really great if the media was doing their job and really searching for truth instead of pushing forward narratives that are just scaring people to death. I was watching somebody last night on the television. They said just think about what this does to us when we're watching television and you have the death tolls and the new cases that's on the side like a sports headlines. I mean, it does nothing but actually get people afraid. And it's not giving any context. And that's why we have to start to work for context, which, again, that's why that Brittany Hughes soundbite was so good, is because we're way out of context now. So let's move on to another headline, which is very important. I have gotten information, very credible information, that it looks like the COVID-19 money that is coming to the state that is supposed to go to local governments or counties and governments, it looks like at this point Governor Polis is, instead of going to put that money where it's supposed to go, that he is going to keep that and try to use that to balance the state budget. And that is never what that money was supposed to go to. And so Congressman Scott Tipton has demanded, he sent out a letter, he's demanded an immediate explanation from Colorado Governor Jared Polis on rumors that he's going to use the entirety of this federal aid under the Corona Aid Relief and Economic Securities Act, which is CARES, to balance the state budget rather than distribute the funds to the smaller county, tribal, and municipal governments for which they are intended. So, can you believe that? Governor Polis uses his power, his executive power, to shut down basically the economy in Colorado. And then this big act is passed back in Washington, D.C. to try to help everyday Americans and actually get some money to local governments. And you talk about sticky fingers as the money goes by. Normally, government, they just take their cut. But it looks like he wants to keep it all, Steve.
You know, earlier in the morning, much earlier, I was reading through the notes that Patty sends over and the different stories. This one really kind of grabbed me by the throat. I can't believe. Now, okay, let's let another couple days go by and see if, the governor will respond with anything reasonable explanation for this. But otherwise, I mean, they're writing a new book on how to be despicable, I guess. But this is balancing the state budget has nothing to do with that money was originally destined for.
And so we'll continue to watch what's going on. I'm glad that there's light being shed on this. In fact, I think on Thursday, Mesa County Commissioner Rose Puglisi, who actually was really out in front of this, she had tweeted about this either Friday, I guess it was Friday, and she was out in front of this to bring light to that. And so that's the great thing about light and truth, is once you take the veil off and know what's going on, people are going to go, wait a minute. So we'll keep you informed on that. Another really interesting piece was that Paul Prentice has done a guest column in the Gazette. He says that the coronavirus versus the economy, it says we are at a tipping point. And he says most states and municipalities have shut down major sectors of their economies in the hope of minimizing the very real medical damage from the spread of the coronavirus. The benefit is assumed to be in saved lives, or at least a flattened curve that allows time for hospitals to ramp up capacity for medical research to find treatments and a vaccine. To that extent, the economic shutdown has been good, but it is reasonable to ask at what cost. The economy is not some machine that can be turned off and on at the whim of politicians and medical experts. The economy is us, we the people, as we go about our daily lives trying to improve conditions for ourselves and our loved ones. It's a very important piece in the Gazette. And Paul Prentice and Helen Raleigh, we will be doing our first salon series. It's been rescheduled for June 22nd at Water's Edge Winery. And so if you'd like to buy a ticket, go to my website. That is there as well. And so let me just check one thing here. Let's go to break. And when we come back, we will be talking with Daniel Turner, who is the executive director of Power the Future. We'll be right back.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Recaps and podcasts of the shows can be found there. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. and thrilled to have on the line with me Daniel Turner. He is the executive director of Power the Future. Daniel Turner, welcome to the show.
Kim, thanks for having me on. Great to talk to you and your great listeners.
Well, thank you. Tell us a little bit about Power the Future before we get into our subject matter.
Yeah, I started this organization just 2 years ago, and I started it for one specific reason, and that is because the men and women who work in the energy industry, the men and women who work in oil and gas and coal, they keep the country running. They power the economy, like you were just talking about. They also power our future. Without them, we don't have lights and electricity, et cetera, an electric grid. But I felt that they needed a voice in D.C. because the power brokers in Washington, D.C., the ideologue liberal elites in New York and San Francisco who fund these radical green causes, they're in a real disconnect with the men and women whose jobs are on the line. So when they advocate things like Green New Deal or ending fossil fuels, et cetera, they're talking about firing tens of millions of people who work in this industry and really ruining our economy and our nation and putting our national security even on the line. So I started Power the Future to hopefully be a voice for those men and women in rural America who needed a voice in powerful broker city America.
Well, and Daniel Turner, with this upheaval with COVID-19 and then with the Russians and the Saudis having their little tiff, all of this has really reduced demand for oil and gas products right now. And so it's rough for that industry. But as you mentioned, they really power our lives. As we're in this lockdown, shutdown thing, I think people really appreciate having heat and electricity and lights. And so I'm concerned about the industry right now. What's your thoughts? And I understand that it looks like the oil futures are down a little bit today. So what's going on? What do you think?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm very concerned about this industry because with everyone on lockdown and the big drivers of the energy industry, which is transportation. I mean, how many of us, take flights for work or for recreational purposes, and the cruise ship industry, airlines, even just getting in your car and commuting to work, all of those industries are basically on hold. And that means there's no demand for oil right now. And so that has created this huge glut. But the Saudis and the Russians are really happy about that. Just 10 years ago, we used to import 8 or 9 million barrels of oil a day from those countries. We don't do that anymore. President Trump has instituted what he's called energy dominance. We are energy independent. And if you're Russia or Saudi Arabia and you realize that you lost your best customer, you will do everything in your power to get them back. And so even though the low oil prices are bad for them temporarily, they are playing a long game, saying if we can bankrupt American oil and gas, maybe we'll have a long-term customer from now on. So it's a really precarious situation right now.
So what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I hope the president continues with a strong foreign policy. He has spoken to both countries numerous times. I would like to see him put a huge tariff on the import of Russian and Saudi gas. Look, I don't like messing with the free markets more than anyone, but this is not a free market moment we're in. This is a foreign policy power broker moment, and you have to face foreign policy with foreign policy. So I hope the president is able to put some pressure on them in terms of foreign policy. And I hope he can, not in terms of a bailout. I hate that phrase. It sounds like companies did something wrong. It's just like your restaurants and your bars. They don't need a bailout. They need a bridge loan. They're in a period that they can't have customers because of government rules. So they need help to survive in this period. And I hope a lot of our producers who are small, independent, real family-owned businesses, and people think Big Oil, Exxon, Chevron, but 80% of our oil and gas comes from privately held, really family-run businesses. And I hope through the Treasury Department, he can extend a lifeline to them and keep them afloat until they're able to sell their product to a company, a customer who needs it.
Well, and American energy independence is also a very important component in global geopolitics as well. And so I hadn't really thought about this as, because I'm like you, I like free and fair markets. However, yeah, this is a different moment for sure. So let's move over to something very interesting that I saw that you had said, and that is that in 2012, Joe Biden had said on the campaign trail that we need all sources of energy. But fast forward to now, and he actually said there's no place for fossil fuels in my administration. He said that?
It's an amazing quote, and I like to think he was caught up in the moment of the primary, and he was trying to out-Bernie Bernie, and he's trying to win the environmental left, which, if you're a Democrat, that is where the base is, that is where the energy is, that is where your volunteers are. The environmental left, the environmental radical left, is an energetic, enthused bunch. Look at a Bernie Sanders' campaign. Look at someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. If you're Joe Biden, you need those people. So maybe he was just trying to win them over. But regardless, he's on record having said that. Absolutely. There is no place in my administration for fossil fuels. So the question for the Biden folks, how do you now pivot to the middle to say, actually, what I meant was 400,000 frackers in Ohio, 300,000 in Pennsylvania, about 400,000 in your own wonderful state of Colorado, right? I mean, these are purple states, important states that have a lot of people who work in these industries, and they're paying attention and they're voting. And if they see a candidate like Joe Biden who has said, there's no place for you in my administration, well, maybe that won't drive you to vote for President Trump, but it may not even drive you to the polls, and you may just stay home that day.
Well, and so it looks like Bernie has really pulled the Democrat Party to the radical activist left, which is kind of an astonishing thing.
Yeah, it really is. And he did this without even believing what he says. And this is where I will always have great disdain for the politics of Bernie Sanders, because you can make these outlandish statements about oil and gas and fossil fuels and America's energy workers. But if in your private life you have multiple homes, which I don't begrudge him. I wish I had multiple homes, but I don't. Mm-hmm. If in your private life your campaign is spending $1 million a quarter on private jet travel, I guess there are no commercial flights that go to New Hampshire and Iowa, but he was spending $1 million a quarter on private jet. So my disdain for Bernie Sanders' politics, which is all socialists, is if in your private life you do not live what you want government to mandate that you and I live in our private life, you're a dangerous person. And that is the danger of Bernie Sanders' radical socialism. He doesn't even live it, but he wants government to force Kim and Daniel to live it in their life. And that's shocking and thoroughly un-American.
Well, and it also begs the question, Bernie Sanders has been a politician for many, many years. So how on his salary does he come up with enough money to have these multiple homes? And I'm like you, I do not begrudge that, because, you know, people that go out and create value and if they have a product that other people really, really like, then a lot of people are going to trade their hard-earned money for that particular value, and that person will get rich. And I think that's wonderful. That's the American idea. But when we have politicians that are somehow, you know, having multiple houses and being in government for a long, long time, that's where you start to go, wait a minute, this isn't matching up, Daniel.
No, it isn't. And all of this was possible because of many things, a free market, the beauty of the American system. But it was also possible for Bernie to do this because of reliable, inexpensive, abundant domestic energy. He was able to jump on a jet and fly to a campaign stop at a relatively low cost, because there's a guy in Southwest Colorado right now who's working on an oil rig or fracking, et cetera. And their labor makes our economy function. It gives us a good at a very low price that we can jump in our car and drive places, and he can rent campaign buses, and he can bus in volunteers to knock on doors. Energy drives all of our economy. And it's really sad that Bernie and then younger generations like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's only 30, it's sad that she has learned from him rather than a great appreciation of what makes America great, a disdain for the very tools, the very undergirding of our economy, which is the farmer, the manufacturer, the oil and gas worker, et cetera. Again, that's why I started Power the Future. Those folks need people in D.C. to advocate for them and push back on these power brokers who have no idea how the world works.
Well, and Daniel Turner, to that point, you're absolutely right. Everyday hardworking people think that they have representatives going to Washington that are representing them. But the moneyed interests, you know, are able to pay lobbyists that are back there advocating for those particular interests. So the idea that you are there for everyday hardworking energy producers is very cool. And we're just about out of time. In fact, we have just about a minute. What is your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners, Daniel Turner?
It's great to be on your show. I'm really grateful, and especially to the folks in your wonderful state who are working in this industry. It's a real thank you. And you know, in the moment of coronavirus, we've taken a new appreciation for truck drivers and grocery store shelf work stockers, et cetera. But there, I have an appreciation also for those men and women who are working in this industry. They can't socially distance. They aren't working from home or working remotely. They're out there in oil, gas, coal. And because of them, they power the economy. We're able to drive. We have heat, electricity, hot water, air conditioning in the South, et cetera. And every time we put on our coffee maker or flip on the light switch, we're giving them a thank you. So I'm grateful to them and their service. And I'm grateful for what you're doing, Kim, helping spread the good word out there on the airwaves.
Well, Daniel Turner, Executive Director, Power the Future, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and our quote for today is from Mark Twain. He said, "The liberty of the press is called the palladium of freedom," which means in these days, the liberty of being deceived, swindled, and humbugged by the press and paying hugely for the deception. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you. And God bless America.